Do
I like true story.
do
Yeah.
do
And
do
if I
do. Have
get
you voted
another
already?
one, these are
Okay. I'd like to discuss
decided,
measures with you.
short,
Do you have to
quick
bolt?
things. Oh, I love
Bolt?
this. Yeah,
Yeah,
we can
that's
get
what I
into
wanted
the
to do
other
Friday
things.
was
Yeah,
like
let's see
just
if we're short 15
talk measures
minutes.
with you and
I
props.
know, it's a good day for you, isn't it?
I will
We
have to look
wanted to
up
pause.
what we did, but yeah, I
Cool.
can.
I'm done. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we're taking
So
it
I'll do a
from
3-2-1.
we're taking it from where were we?
Welcome to Passions for Life, where your hosts, Natalie Z and Travis Schultz, pull back the curtain on the show you always denied watching, Passions. Yeah, how was that?
That's good. That was a little flourish at the end.
Well, it just went out with it was more like a wet fart. But flirt you what you call a flourish, I call a fart.
Sure. Yeah. To each their own.
Yeah.
Travis. Good morning.
Good morning.
Benjamin Hayes.
Yeah.
He's
Good
here with
morning to
us
you
as
too.
always. We're doing this in the
Yeah.
morning, so
For a minute, I thought you were going to say Natalie Schultz and Travis Z.
maybe sometime I will. I'll
We
really
do
mix it up.
do that
When I'm in
sometimes.
trouble at the house, when I've done something that Travis finds deplorable, he calls me Natalie Schultz, which is it doesn't say much about you.
It's really not.
I'll be like, oh, Natalie Schultz.
Now I like undercook something and be like, Natalie
I've
Schultz.
never undercooked anything in my life, by the
Except
way.
last night.
Ooh, sick
Oh,
burn.
shit. Yeah, but that wasn't like meat. Like, nobody was gonna die.
I didn't say when Natalie undercooks something and almost, and then if we eat it, everyone dies. Then I say, hey, Natalie Schultz.
You guys remember when I texted you on Thursday and asked if this was couples counseling?
Wait, and
And you did not answer.
the answer is yes, because you knew the
Well,
answer
and
is yes.
see, Ben, that's exactly what I want to bring up because that comment got me thinking about like all why am I doing this? What are we doing? Why are we here?
This is not my beautiful house.
This
This
is
is
not
not
my
my
beautiful wife.
This is not my podcast. Like what I was asking myself the big questions. Like, why are we doing this podcast? Because I'm watching Passions again, and I don't know why, and it's really starting to wear on me,
Yeah.
and I'm annoyed with it, and it's like I'm reliving this part of my life, and I'm feeling a lot of things when I'm doing this and watching it, and I'm looking at Natalie, and I'm looking at Natalie. You know what I mean? I'm looking
Yeah.
at little Natalie, and I'm looking at big Natalie, and I'm looking at little me, and I'm looking at big me. Saggy big me in the mirror. And I'm like, why am I doing this? What am I getting out of this? What is the purpose of this? You know, and is it therapy for my wife, for our relationship? And I'm like, oh shit. No, this is our midlife crisis, Ben. This is
I love that I'm excluded in this.
how men in their late to mid to late 40s.
We shouldn't identify ages.
Oh, is it? Did you take it off your IMDb page?
I've never
Because you
had
should
it,
take
but
it
I've been
down.
coasting for years.
Oh shit! You
On
just outed him.
youthful good
You
looks.
mean he means 30s? He means mid
That's
30s.
right.
Mid-30s.
All right.
This is our midlife crisis. This is the 21st century. This is what a man does
Starts a podcast.
for his midlife crisis. It's wow.
So it's, I mean,
This
it's
is what
cheaper
I'm
than buying a
doing.
car.
No, like overpriced car.
No
No,
teenage
like. No
girlfriend.
teenage girlfriend that blows up my life. No, what's another
So
cliche?
what you're saying is it's a constructive way to deal with
Yeah,
aging.
we're learning.
aging.
Well, because we're living longer too, so that, you know, maybe it's like, you know, getting a fast car that could kill you, getting a teenage girlfriend that could blow up
I
your
did
life.
that while working on Passions.
Right, when you were supposed to. Yeah. But those are things that could literally kill you. And this can't really.
No.
Yeah, because
No.
This is, I
we're
think, a
thinking longevity
helpful,
now.
healthy,
Yeah.
introspective way. At least, I mean,
Is that where you're feeling?
I don't hate it. I mean, the
He's coming at it from a very different place than we are. I
It's
mean,
true.
yeah.
I get that,
Right. The only thing that I
Those
alluded to a few episodes ago was that I thought for a minute that this was like a really long form prank on y'all's part, or in a more insidious way, You're slowly trying to drive me insane by making me watch these episodes.
Can all of those things be true?
Sure.
Right.
If we just pretend.
Yeah.
Hey, right. Listen, you know I'm real into that shit.
No, yeah.
I've really given. Yeah.
I'm the only one in this group trying to get to the truth here.
Oh, no. For sure.
Yeah.
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 You guys. It's certainly not me.
It's a different experience. You're looking
rose-colored glasses.
You're looking at your past, literally. Both of you are looking at your past and then and comparing it to your present.
Yeah.
I'm looking at your past and comparing it to your present. So it doesn't.
You've got no, you've got no in skin mirror. In the game, so to speak.
Right. Yeah. 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 It's, I mean, a lot of things. And I had a very interesting thing happen in watching this episode specifically because.
Were you high as a kite? Were you smoking the doobs? No, were you ingesting the Mary Jane? What are the other
But look. I love the Katharine Hepburn thing. Can you do a whole podcast in that voice?
Certainly. I jump all over
in,
your thing.
In this, I told you, in the scene where we're at the funeral, Nally and I are holding each other and comforting each other. Like, as actors, we're comforting each other.
Just, there's a caveat. We have a child in the room.
We have a child in the room. She's raising her hand because something's paused. We're anti-screens, but when we got nobody to take care of our child, we do this. But as everyone else is. Where was I? Yes, so at the funeral, there's a lot of comforting. Mm-hmm. As actors, we're comforting each other. And as a performer, like, imagine yourself at a funeral at your aunt's funeral with your, you know, ex-girlfriend, best friend, whatever. And just like the hugs and the stuff. And, you know, you got to sell it. And I had this wash of memories of those touches with Natalie. And it made me realize that we were having a relationship before we had a relationship.
Yeah.
Like now, you know, we're going to be going to funerals and we're going to be holding each other that way.
Yeah.
Again. But for real, you know, and I don't know, it's just like, it was kind of sweet and kind of dark and I was like, and it made me think like how naturally we did it. And I don't know if that was just because we were actors or we were kids, but like.
We also really liked each other as people. We were very
comforting each other.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I mean, like, yes, I was in a relationship and everything was very kosher, but I wouldn't have been conscious of this at the time, but I did very much enjoy getting an excuse to touch you.
Baby, I loved it too.
I know. But you admitted it to yourself. I did. Oh, Ben's like, go on.
Escándalo.
Look, I had Lindsay.
Yeah, no, you were doing great. You were doing very well.
You know
what
I mean? Like, I was like, I'm living the dream.
You're a winner. Yeah.
But still, like, in that moment, laying on bed with you. Mm-hmm. And then watching that and just like paying attention to how I squeezed your hand or how I squeezed your shoulders. And I, it's just like, I got these rushes and I have similar things with Lindsay as well.
Yeah. Like because when
Lindsay and I were always making
just
out.
All over each other.
Yeah. And I enjoyed it, but
yeah.
Yeah.
What's not to enjoy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm watching her and I'm thinking, especially in this episode, I'm like, well, you know, if you get bored, just marvel at how beautiful Lindsay's hair is. I mean, I know there's so many other things about her that are even more beautiful, but her hair, I was just like, fuck this woman's hair. Pardon me. I'm going to go put the headphones back on my child's face.
Well, you were talking.
But what's interesting is, well, I don't know. It's watching your reactions to this stuff. It's got to bring up, you know, old feelings and memories and sensations.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many there, and that's part of the frustration is like I feel like I'm only scraping the surface, you know. But that's the way memory works.
Mm.
It is not this. You can't go back on your phone and find it. You know, it is like you'll get a partial sunset. You know, or beach with grass and stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
but it's also sort of
bits and pieces.
The side effect, the lovely side effect of all this is that, you know, we didn't have, there's a huge period in I think all of our lives where there's not a lot of pictures of us, like the college years and like our early 20s, because we didn't have phones, you know. And in order to take a picture, you had to get out a camera. And when our parents were no longer taking pictures of us, like, where are the pictures? So this is such a lovely way to get to, as painful as it, because I'm with you, bro. I don't love this experience. I love this experience, what we're doing right now. Yeah, yeah. But the prep experience is, it's problematic for me on a few different levels. But we do have this great privilege of being able to revisit these moments that we would never have had otherwise.
Yeah. It's. I would encourage you to find the positive.
Do the thing I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretend like the negative shit doesn't exist for like 5 seconds.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I mean, I don't know, Travis, have you been listening to a lot of Elliot Smith?
You know, I never quite got into him, but I did hear one of his songs the other day, because someone did it in their story. And I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really sweet, honest song.
Yeah, he was quite good.
And I said, okay.
Well, so this isn't the Elliot Smith podcast.
Let's get to the funeral, guys.
Yeah. Speaking of Elliot Smith, let's go to the funeral. I have some little silly...
get us going now.
I have some musings on the funeral. And they're just like one-offs, little like boxes to tick. But I do have one sort of overarching, and I don't really know where this is going. So I'm going to let you guys kind of run with it once I've gotten it out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. But I'm watching Kim Ulrich, who plays Ivy, who in last week's episode talked about how beautiful she is in this episode.
Still beautiful.
And inside and out. And there's this, so, you know, fuckability is something that's talked about a lot in the industry, and especially with women over a certain age, and like, is she still fuckable kind of thing. And there's this trope of if a woman is over 40 and still fuckable, she must be a real asshole. I didn't write down the word asshole. My word starts with a C, but I know that some people may be offended by that word.
I'm okay not using that.
Not using the C word. I'm okay too. It's caustic. It's very acerbic and poisonous. What it made me think, and I am one. So, what it made me think of was, so Catherine Keener, follow me on this one. We're gonna go off the charts a little bit. Catherine Keener in 40-Year-Old Virgin. She plays this woman who is very much in her 40s. I guess, you know, early 40s, and she is. I remember watching this movie, and I was in my 30s, and thinking, I've never seen that character before. She's this very self-possessed, smart, layered. She is self-actualized, all the great stuff that you want. But she's also so sweet. She's so nice, and it's so genuine, and it's so specific. It's not. It was something that I had never seen before, and I remember watching her and thinking, I want to play that character. I want more of that character, because I feel like what we had been seeing for so long and are still seeing is, if you're over 40, if you're attractive and a woman, there's this need to make you hard, to make you not nice, to make you... to make you the source of conflict.
Right.
Yeah. And
spinster.
Not necessarily. I'm talking about Jaden. it happens a lot with for instance, a Parisian stereotype of a beautiful woman, and, you know, of a certain age, a very self-possessed woman. She's always a cunt. I'm going to say it. I couldn't not.
We're all adults here.
Except for the 5-year-old.
She's got headphones on.
But I just remember watching this the other night and thinking, oh, this is maybe where that all started. You know, the soap genre is maybe where that all started, because what's great about soaps for women is that there are a lot of characters over 40 on soaps, and they were doing it way before, you know, Shonda Rhimes was doing it, and before this like explosion of these great.
You didn't see 80-year-old matriarchal series regular characters
anywhere else but on daytime. Yeah, and they were, again, they were fully realized. They weren't just like background. They were people who had histories and storylines and all that.
Yeah,
but so heavies. So I'm reading a book right now that argues that soaps were great for feminism, and it's fascinating. We'll talk about it. To that point, they were also not so great at times, and it's, you know, this especially for, you know, on Passions, this like Ivy, Rebecca, cattiness that's going on just brought me back to like, oh, this is what we were always watching. This is the dynamic we were always watching that we're trying to like tear ourselves out of. I know I'm probably talking in circles, but
I can see absolutely what you're saying.
Like, you don't see the Catherine Keener character on a soap. You don't see that, like, if you're over 40 and if you're beautiful, then you must be bad news.
Right.
You must be the source of conflict. You don't get to be this, like, the source of good.
Sure.
Unless you're, again, unless you're sort of dowdy, like, you're a Dana type. Not that Dana's not beautiful, but her looks were sort of played down, because if you make her too sexy, then she rolls over into that other trope.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
There's a lot of things out there that like the people writing the stories don't really know how to write that person because they're complex.
Yeah.
Their life experience is very complex, and there's a lot of different variables, and I think that's why it's easier to write kids, it's easier to write
dogs,
it's easier to write monsters and superhero characters, because the character arcs are very simple.
They're clean cut. They're clear.
But when the world is a very complicated place, and people are a collection of many different experiences, and trying to write that story, it's very hard. And then trying to put that story in an hour, or in 42 minutes, and then in 22 minutes.
Well, and then making the assumption that people want to watch that, even though people do, I would have. I'm sure there are plenty of people who would have. But like, if you don't have that world experience, then you're not going to assume that anybody wants to watch that world experience, because it's just foreign.
Also, when the entire business model is built on making money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that was my takeaway from this, you know, the dynamics of those two women. And I'm actually, because of that, interested in seeing I know how it's going to go, but just seeing like, the intricacies of that, and to see, watch Andrea and Ivy either fight, Andrea and Kim either fight it or lean into it, which I think Andrea leans way more into it than Kim does. Kim does the thing that we were talking about in the last episode, where Ben Masters, I think, inserts his own humanity into Julian. I think Kim did a lot of that. Whereas Andrea didn't. And now that I'm thinking about it, that's also fascinating, is that they took two different sort of roads with these villainesses, neither was wrong. They both carried out what they needed to carry out, which was they got paid on Thursdays.
Yeah.
Kids through school.
I've said a lot about the funeral. Does anyone else have
Ben, go.
Well, we didn't even really get into the actual funeral part. I think this is a very interesting.
Well, it was discussion. A scene in the funeral that made me think of this. The two of them sort of talking, both facing the camera, not looking at each other, because that's what you do. So that's what led me into.
Yeah, the blocking on this is always kind of weird, but
I mean,
but that's television.
The camera. There were four camera. Four cameras, was it four? So. Four cameras. Do you remember? Or did it change every?
No, there was four probably.
Depending on how many people were in the scene.
At the same time.
Like, if there was a scene between me and you, two cameras is plenty, maybe. And like, well, maybe a third would, to do a wide shot or
depending
something?
On the set, they'd split it into sections.
It's just such an efficient way of doing it, because you don't have to. I mean, it's edited. Like, right? It's edited in the moment, basically.
Yeah. No, the guy's going cut to three. Yeah. It's
in the booth.
It's kind of live.
Yeah.
Happening. Live editing.
Yeah.
Yes.
You and speaking of Kim Ulrich, you and Kim made a beautiful couple on camera. I'm like, dang, I would watch this. I'd watch these two together.
Okay, let's talk, since we're talking about those ladies, what did you think about their 50s version?
Oh, was it Amy flashback? Adams and J-Law? Is that who they got? Wouldn't that be great if you like look up those actresses and you're like, holy fuck, that girl's won 3 Emmys now.
Yeah, it was very funny.
Yeah. Also, were they, does the timeline, does I, that, I mean, like,
what, I don't know.
Does that put them in their 60s?
It makes them grandmas.
It was familiar ground for me, because as some of you know, I've been dared / forced to read the novelization.
Ah.
And I feel like this is covered in the book. I mean, this time period is covered in the book, not the incident. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And what time period is it?
What is it, the 60s?
I have to look and see.
It's 1934.
It's the, do it in your Katharine Hepburn voice.
It's 19. Well, hold on. I got to fucking Ben. I got to rehearse. Please don't put me on the spot. I'm not an improv actor.
Nor am I.
Didn't do the Groundlings.
Not if you watch The Detour.
Well, I got paid a lot more than I'm getting paid for this.
All right. That's true. Well, I just thought that was, they were just these Bobby Sockas.
Well, yeah. For those of you who are confused, there's a scene in this episode where.
I feel like it's the 80s because Julian is doing a lot of cocaine.
No, he's not.
Yes.
Wait, are you being serious?
Yes.
Julian's doing cocaine in Hidden Passions?
Yes.
Hold on. Is this real? Why am I not reading this
in the novelization?
Any book where anybody's doing
cocaine? Julian
has a
mistress, a girlfriend, a kept woman who was a college student. She had dreams, but she wanted to be a jazz singer.
Oh, well, you know who this is.
No. I haven't finished the book. Don't tell me.
Okay.
Sorry for the awkward pause.
I just realized who it is.
Okay. And he gets her hooked on drugs. And and she's got a lot
you
of...
You know who this is?
Is this the doctor?
Yeah.
It's Eve Russell.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's all
making sense. Back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot about
upon
that.
Layer upon layer.
I probably could have figured out when she's referred to in the book as Eve. However, I only think of her as Dr. Russell because I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, I know you. I do some research, but I don't do.
Connecting the dots.
Wow. Anyway. Okay. So yeah.
Julian's doing a lot of cocaine in the 80s. So there is to fill you in. There's a flashback in this episode with Ivy and Rebecca. It's a short flashback of two younger actresses in their 20s. I want to say. I mean, they're like adults.
Yes.
But it appears to be set in the early 60s, which timeline doesn't really add up.
They don't care about timelines.
They don't care about timelines.
They don't care. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. But yeah, I definitely think that was Jennifer Lawrence and Amy Adams doing that flashback.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah. My note for the funeral was, we've really backtracked here.
Look, this is in all caps. This is all from last episode.
Yeah.
Well, I have all caps.
The first part of the
they
show
just
was
took
all
a scene
recaps. Yeah.
From the last episode.
Yeah, like I was starting to fall asleep and then stuff started happening in the middle. Because, I mean, I got to throw out Rebecca's line, knowledge is power, and I just want to make sure I have all the power.
I'm saying. She's the smartest one in the room.
Yeah. I'm like, man, they just gave her these juicy, juicy lines. It's so good.
Yeah.
She does have some good lines.
Well, yeah, and conversely, so Rebecca's the smartest one in the block. Conversely, Ivy slips up a lot. She's a dumb bitch, this one.
In keeping her own secret?
Yeah, she's just always like, Ethan's not a crane. What? Wait, you've been keeping the secret for 25 years.
Was that? Maybe that's in the novel. Ivy has Tourette's.
That is it. It should be in the novel.
It's not in the
novel. Yeah, it happens a lot, which is weird because it seems like it's just now starting to slip out. Like she's been able to keep her mouth shut for a quarter of a century.
Yeah.
But because of Pilar.
Something's happening where she just is.
Her therapist.
Right. Her therapist. Oh, by the way, fun fact about Pilar. Did you know? I hope I'm not telling tales out of school, but Eva Lemus, who plays Eva Tamargo, I'm not sure what she's going by now. Eva, let us know. Who plays Pilar. She was not allowed as her character to use contractions. She was never allowed to say can't, won't, didn't.
Why?
Shouldn't. Well, because English is not her first language. And everyone knows, Ben, that
are
if
you
English
sure
is.
About this?
This is,
do you remember this?
I do remember this.
Oh my
That's
God.
Ridiculous.
Where she, and she got called on it a few times. She was really, the reason we didn't notice was because she was so goddamn good at it. And she never slipped up. Yeah. So the few times she did, she was called out on it. And they were like, oh, Eva, you can't.
Oh, we got a cut there. You said can't.
You said can't.
That's
but could you imagine constantly being all cannot, did not,
that's
just come.
So formal.
On.
Yeah.
So if you ever wonder.
Well,
like,
I can't because that's the way they wrote my character, too.
Well, you could have fudged it and nobody would have been like.
No, they stopped me.
No, they didn't.
Yes,
you would use contractions?
Because I still had my Midwestern stuff. They stopped
There's
me
not a
lot.
World in which people don't
ambulance.
Use contraction. Well, that's mispronouncing words. What I'm saying is, I think you're
that is a Midwestern dialect.
Sure. Whatever gets you through the day.
Hey, man.
What do you say? Ambulance?
Ambulance.
Ambulance.
Huh. Someone called me out because I said insurance instead of insurance.
No, you're correct. Insurance? They're wrong. You can say it both ways.
Insurance.
Well, they said it was they said it was the Texan in me.
I got shit for right. Equator instead of equator.
Well, equator. Equator.
You stop because equator. You're from Texas too. Don't.
All right, we're getting off topic.
I'm sorry. On. Okay, so yeah, the contractions.
This podcast.
No one's listening podcast, for the it's passions.
It's a hot mess.
Everybody
hot
just wants mess. To hear what Ben has to say.
It's true.
That's
I
not
do.
True.
Yeah, Eva wasn't allowed to use contractions. That's my did my trivia wow. for. I know. It's yeah.
That's dumb.
It feels racist. I'm just gonna say it. It that's feels just, like a fucking racist.
If it feels racist,
it's racist.
Probably it is racist.
It yeah,
is, right. probably.
Yeah, I'm glad yeah. we did that.
Here's an observation about the funeral.
Keep going about that funeral.
Well, they so the Crane family. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is very wealthy.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you think they could afford a funeral not on a back, like a well, soundstage?
The A, yes. And B, I feel like they had a guy just to do the manual crank for the lowering of the casket.
Uh-huh.
But they couldn't get like one of the electric ones?
No.
Well, not back then.
Back in the
2000s. Back in the early 2000s.
Or maybe it's more it's a display of thing. Wealth if you have you right. hire
yes. you can hire it's, a, yeah, it's a, like, a person yeah. right. my, our butler
yeah exactly to, butler. Then that's true wealth.
Hey, that extra got paid.
I didn't know. I know. I don't know. And Ben, you could actually answer this question. Travis cannot. I don't know if it was because I was there, and I remember very vividly being there on the soundstage with the funeral and all of this. It is. Clearly a soundstage. Like they don't even try with the gray in the back. Like that's clearly a psych, gray colored psych that is that what we call them? Yeah.
Yeah.
That has no texture or like nobody even
No, it was like
tried to put a cloud
a gray
on there.
Day. But that's yeah.
But so did it look as high school production?
Yes. It
okay.
looks very fake.
It
yeah,
did.
Like especially
it's hard
you
to
really
know.
Notice it when
And it was not green screen. It was just like
no. It was just a literal no. like was, gray psych that was they
a gray
just threw
psych
it.
That yeah.
So the other thing about this episode that I really loved is that Travis, you and the writers are trailblazers because you have coined the phrase "my wife" years before Borat.
My wife.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're looking for yeah. you and the Bachelor. You're yeah. just looking for your wife.
As you're leaving the door really, really, really wide open for Gwen. It's
yeah.
really funny.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I will never miss anyone. I never have anyone to talk to until I find my wife.
But then your wife will help you find the void Sheridan left in your life.
That's right.
Who says that? That's a line. Somebody said,
wait, Gwen. What is it?
Oh, I say it?
Yeah, Gwen's like laid it on super thick.
Gross.
She's like, yeah, you know.
Your wife you know will, yeah.
Your wife's going to be the new Sheridan. Your wife will be your aunt, and then you'll have everything you want.
Oh, my wife aunt. It's so fucked up.
God, that's so
oh,
fucked up.
Man. So did you guys notice when this is a tiny little tidbit, and I want to get to the Julian stuff, but when this is a Julian thing, when they're like, we need somebody to, they're asking Julian to, we need somebody to carry the coffin. The look, did you catch this? The look Ben Masters gives to Ivy, like, you fucking do it.
Yeah. Just, he does. He goes,
whoa. What about you? It was the most perfect moment of the whole episode.
He's okay, because he does a lot of perfect moments.
He does some pretty, yeah.
In this one. And I specifically am going to point one out, but guys, slipshod.
Slipshod.
Slipshod. Police work. I had to look up this word. I had to learn how to say this word. I mean, this is.
Is it a real word, slipshod?
Yeah, and no. I mean, when I came in that day, I got my script and I came in and I went, "Hey, I have a question. If we're rehearsing. What is this? what am I saying here? There's a typo," and they're like, "No, it's slipshod." And I'm like, "That's not a word." And they're like, "No, it's a word, slipshod. It means." Shoddy work. And I'm like, well, I'm not gonna say that. And they're like, you know, you have to say it because that's what Ethan would say. And I fucked it up probably three takes because I couldn't say it because I didn't know.
It's not a word.
I'm like, how do you use it in a sentence? Because this word isn't used anymore.
And you didn't have a portable dictionary.
You did not.
I did because every actor back then had a dictionary.
Oh, wow.
That's absolutely not true.
Don't. Let me rephrase that. Every good actor had a dictionary.
Whoa. Don't counseling. Make me name drop. Don't make me do it.
Webster?
Merriam. What is it?
McConic.
Merriam. Help us out, person Webster. Who knows things.
This is the Merriam-Webster.
Merriam-Webster. Oh, it's the same shit.
And the other one was McCoric, McConic, whatever the other one was. Yeah, I had a dictionary. And it was like...
So you're like fact-checking the writers.
Slipshod, that's not in here.
But it wasn't in there?
I don't know. I bet I still have that. I should go look.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was ridiculous.
Pocket dictionary.
And you can tell when I'm saying it in the scene. I didn't even say it right. It sounded like I said slipshod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The T.
There wasn't a lot of confidence behind it.
No.
Slipshod.
This is slipshod.
That's what we would do when it was a word that we didn't... Yeah, slipshod.
Oh my God.
I had to say you're trying to insinuate yourself into, which I never understood that to be the way you use that word. I guess that's what we do. Julian, we have some thoughts about Julian.
So here's what I'm going to say about Julian, okay? This is a great setup. This was such a great setup. His father calls him to tell him that he's not the father of his son. Like, it's a great little story thing.
Yes.
Right?
Is that what the letter says?
Well,
we don't know what the letter says.
Don't know what the letter says. But yeah. I just like, well, the audience is putting that on the story, okay? The audience is thinking that's what's happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just have to say, what he does in that scene, when he's talking to his dad, finding out the letter, all that stuff is, I was like, I could write a thesis on this scene. I could teach an entire semester of acting using only that scene as reference because he's so good in that.
Yeah, I agree.
How he takes in information, how he reads a letter.
The phone and the getting the letter.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's
like advanced acting 101 because you see him, he opens the letter. He already has this world that he's coming from. My father's letter. Fucking, I got it. Nobody's watching. He looks around to make sure no one's looking. He opens the letter. He starts to read the letter. Oh, this looks stupid. And then he read it. And then he starts to realize. And then he's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then it's like he closes the letter. The phone rings. He flips the phone. Talks on the phone. I mean, it was beautiful.
Yeah,
it was very well done. Beautiful.
Now I kind of want to go back and rewatch it with this appreciation. Yeah, I was stuck on story points.
Yeah, and exactly. It's one of those things that was kind of fun for me watching it again and seeing Ben make stuff like that look so easy. That's a hard scene to do.
Yeah.
It's a hard scene to do. That was one of the things we did in acting class. It was like, you get a letter. Read me a letter on stage.
What kind of news?
What does the letter say? Yeah. And the audience just has to say,
yeah.
Okay, I think that was from your mom. Your grandfather died?
Yeah.
And it's like, no.
it was good news.
I got an A in geometry and I'm crying because now I can go to space camp.
I'm very specific.
You're supposed to make specific choices.
You are. I'm not great at the specificity, which is why I'm not, you know. Great at acting, apparently, according to him.
Well, he's because you didn't have a dictionary.
I didn't have a dictionary.
You fool?
I am a fool.
I think if you look at Dally's resume, you look at my resume.
Yours is longer. I mean, we're not going to do this, but...
It's become a penis measuring.
We are. I prefer to call it a pissing contest.
Yes,
yeah. It was pissing contest.
I don't have a penis.
Well, I know, and that's your
not
jealous.
Outside
you're
my body.
Jealous. Been, according to Freud, all you
don't
ever want
to fucking get me started on Freud because I'm reading a lot of. Do you understand that? The reason that men don't, according to him, the reason that men don't want to fuck their moms is because they're afraid that their moms had a penis and got castrated and don't want to get too close to her because then they're going to get castrated. I know this is probably common knowledge, but what the actual fuck with that?
Now well, I just read Freud.
Is that like total fucking common knowledge?
She just read Freud.
She doesn't have a dictionary, but she'll read Freud.
There's no reason to have read. Listen, you, smarty fucking pants, you relax. I've read... plenty of Danielle Steele.
All right. So my wife, and then Ben Masters did a great job of playing, receiving knowledge that he already knew.
That he already
knew. Yeah.
That was the story point. I was like, he already knows this. He had a whole freak out a couple episodes ago. And
Yeah.
But
well, we don't hold on though. I have to scoot my chair up, first of all. And then I have to simply address. Well, I mean, it was late at night when I watched this, but do we know what was the content of this letter? I feel like
we're
don't
find out,
right, but we don't know. So you guys are making assumptions.
No. The connection is Ivy.
Yes.
And then so it's like this is Alistair being like, see.
I don't know that it is because I can't imagine that this secret is going to come out. He doesn't fuck.
Father is this true? And then he says, I need to see you back at the house.
Right, but Julian doesn't know this information for a long time.
But he suspects it.
He suspects it.
Sure. But
because he saw, remember in the magic mirror.
We're not a recap show.
No, but seriously, we got to get serious though, because this is, we have to get serious.
Okay,
guys.
Sorry. Let's get serious,
Ben. Wipe those smiles off your face.
Sorry.
See what you're doing.
Sorry.
Be serious now.
I am. I'm trying.
Okay, this is the scene McKinsey was talking about.
Oh, right.
Oh, actually get serious. Okay, it wasn't. I feel like it wasn't, but let's under the guise of pretending that it was.
But that's, it's a terrifying scene. What makes you think
it wasn't? It is terrifying. Because and it was terrifying watching
she has
it.
Locked-in syndrome, which you don't like.
Which is fucking terrifying. I wrote it down right here. This is terrifying.
So not only you're locked in, but you're also literally locked in the casket as it's being lowered and the dirt is coming down.
This is how it went down. Okay, and I know what you're stuck on.
I know.
Why you don't think this is it.
I'm being
but
an
she said they closed it. They lowered it, and that was it. They didn't tell her what was going to start happening.
Right.
They didn't tell her that we were going to start throwing dirt on her.
Right.
Right.
And then we were throwing dirt on there, and that was what she was like, wait a second, what's happening?
Yeah.
And that's when her locked-in syndrome kicked into high gear, because it's like, you don't know what's happening outside.
Yeah.
This is the first time, you know what I mean?
No, it's terrifying.
And that's where I was going. I was just sitting there going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Knowing the reality of it,
Knowing what she was thinking there.
And she's moving around at the end of the show, right? At the end of the episode.
Well, yeah, but so let me...
Not to pull
the curtain back, but that... So they had built a special where, you know, it was like the side of a coffin.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know how movies work, right?
Yes, I did go to the aforementioned film school.
Okay. I don't know why I'm looking at you and saying this. I mean, audience, listeners. They built a special contraption.
It was pretty cool.
No contractions.
No contractions.
No contractions.
Not allowed.
Yeah, it's just one wall's moved so you can have the camera there.
Yeah. And so she was probably pretty cozy. Yeah, in there.
But my question is her character... Is she coming out of locked-in syndrome, or are they dramatizing?
Yes, she's awake. Now she's conscious. Yeah.
All right.
So that's her. Yeah, that's not a fantasy
timing
sequence.
Timing's terrible.
I know. It's just an hour before would have been.
When someone stuck a pin in her hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, because if you think about this, Natalie.
Yes.
That coffin going down, she can't open it, okay?
Right.
Because she's in that shaft, which is the grate.
Right.
So that... If she could even open
it, dirt would get in.
It would only open that much.
Right.
And they make those coffins so you can't open them from the inside.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Just in case.
So, like, she's like, wait a second. Everything you told me was going to happen was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But now that people are throwing dirt on me.
Yeah.
Right.
What is going
on?
And
the fact that they did not have a walkie in there with her.
That's ridiculous.
Is. Yes.
Passions.
No.
Passions. It's like,
baby, people got run over on a movie set by a train.
I know.
I mean, you know what I mean?
It's like, not this.
There's
I know.
A lot of dumb people in the world doing dumb things on jobs.
It's not even dumb. I mean? It's just
it's just reckless.
Yeah, reckless. Exactly. Yeah. That is. I don't even like talking about it. The locked in.
I know. I noticed that. That was a
bit
of a nerve for you.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Happy to move on to Tabitha and Timmy, whom I'm growing to despise.
Okay, that's why I just wanted to, like, because, you know, McKinsey told us about that.
Yeah.
I mean.
No, I know. Watching it,
It seemed terrifying.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah. On to something much lighter and more fun. Property taxes.
My favorite
property
character.
Property taxes.
My favorite character in all of Passions is in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Gilligan, the tax collector.
The tax collector, tax
There's
man,
so
tax
many
man.
Things I have to say
what
about
you gonna
him.
Do? Hey, he's really pretty.
He's beautiful.
He's beautiful.
And I wanted so badly. This is skipping ahead in the scene, but when she starts putting on, Tabitha starts putting on her like seduction bullshit.
Yes.
And she talks about the itch, and his line is, "I don't have an itch," and I wanted so badly for him to add, "I'm a gay man."
Oh,
That would have been so fashion, or not fashion forward. That would have been so progressive.
Yeah. Ahead of the game.
Ahead of the game. What I'm looking for. Something forward.
Nailed it out of the park.
nailed it out of the park.
Yeah.
Nailed it out
of offline, the park. Offline, I said, I nailed it out of the park, and now I'm.
And now right. You're stuck with it, Benjamin.
Passion's faux pas from directing and production.
Let's hear it.
Okay, go.
The sexy saxophone sting when she says, any other assets? And they have this, or whatever the thing was. It's like, you guys, I know that it's the 90s, but that was already cliche.
Not even the 90s.
Yeah.
No, it was.
In the early 2000s. Yeah. And then, and not too long after that, they have an actual record scratch.
Yes.
Oh.
The actual record scratch.
The literal record scratch.
And I was thinking, if I did watch this when I was in college, this would have been when I would have spit out my beer. Because right? I was like, I would have, this is what would have made me love the show.
I'm a
like,
real spit take.
This is, it has to be intentional comedy. There's no other way around it.
Except it's not funny. And that was always my problem with it. Like, own it, be in on the joke, but make sure there's a joke.
Yeah.
And
he was funny. Gilligan was funny.
He was great. I'm finding that guest stars are the ones to watch.
Well, that's what I thought. When I started watching the scene, I'm like, Juliet and him had a great time.
Yeah.
They did so good.
I feel like he comes back, doesn't he?
No, he dies.
Have you watched? Excuse me.
Come back.
No, he's dead.
Okay.
And so he'll never come back.
You just said
I'm
that
sorry.
Out loud.
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys.
That's
all right. I'm leaving.
Yeah,
it's like
bye.
Working on American. It's like when
here
I
am,
when
I'm leaving.
When I did the last season of American Horror, people were like, "Oh, I see." Like the costume or the makeup people were like, "So are you coming back?" I was like, "Did you read the scene?" They're like, "Well."
It's Ryan Murphy.
It's nuclear war.
Yeah.
I'm incinerated. And they're like, you never know.
Yeah.
You never know. People come back all the time.
It happens.
And I'm like, oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
She did save his shoes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Walton Goggins on Justified. He was supposed to be a guest star in the pilot, as was I, as was Joelle. We were all like, three of the main characters are supposed to be guest stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And FX was so incredibly horny for him that they were like, is there any way we can make this work? And everybody's like, no, the whole point of the pilot is Boyd Crowder or what was his? Yeah, boy, he dies.
Right.
And they were like, yeah, but is there any way we can make this about him? Like the entire series?
No, when I watched that pilot, I said, they just killed the best character.
Yeah.
They're going to fuck this up if they don't bring him back. And you were like, they can't. He's dead.
I was very much against
him.
I'm glad
dead.
I wasn't part of the decision making process.
There's no way. This guy's going to come back to life.
Hmm.
He did.
That happens all the time. Jesse Pinkman in Breaking Bad was supposed to only be in a few episodes. Yeah. He ends up being
the guy.
The one who survives.
It's kind of the beauty of it.
Well, I never worked with him. So why did you bring him?
I'm sorry.
Anyway, so
the bureaucrat
300 years of back taxes. I'm going to say something right now. I miss a fucking installment. Like I'm 26 minutes late on an installment. I have a warrant out for my arrest. This bitch has not paid property taxes in 300 years. I'm not buying it, guys.
And what's funny is she stayed in the same house.
Yeah, right. She just stayed there.
Like, she's not dodging anybody.
How do people not realize that she has this crazy lady?
Well, because people die and they're like, oh,
but
and then they grow
overlap.
Up.
I know this is, it's low hanging fruit. No need to question that.
Well,
logic.
It's the same as like, why is she?
Man, it's man.
Finally, 300 years later, she's getting a warrant or some guy coming to her house.
Do we find out what's in this damn basement?
She refers to my friends in the basement a lot. I had forgotten about that, but
witch mafia.
Yeah.
It's like my friends in Philadelphia. Do we talk to our friends in Philadelphia?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my friends
in the basement.
Yeah. I also love that I'm stuck on the back taxes too.
Yeah.
She wants to give him like 30 cents.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, this will cover some of it, right?
Yeah.
I love that the tax guy is just not having.
Oh, it's
that
so
was
funny.
Very
it was
funny.
A funny scene.
It was a funny scene. Yeah. And that's why I love this so much.
You got this vampy lady.
Yeah. She was having so much fun.
Can I, though, make a criticism?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
I had forgotten about a peeve of mine when watching the show, and one of the many peeves I had in watching the Tabby Timmy stuff. The fucking bracelets, Juliet.
Dude, this is like my number one note here.
Yes, do you remember? I'd forgotten.
I'm like, we're 300 episodes in, and they still haven't decided to get rid of the fucking bracelets?
I'm sorry, but this is a deal breaker.
I had the same thing.
I remember watching it. Don't you remember watching it and being like, oh,
gling,
the fucking bracelets.
Gling, 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 gling. And it's throughout the entire scene. And I'm like, how the fuck did they let this happen?
You know, it's in every scene she's in, too.
I know. And she always wears all those bracelets.
Also, at that point, if that's, okay, fine. That's your signature look. Tape them together. Like, makeshift. I mean, we're going to be doing this for 10 years, right? So, like, get props to make a thing, like a bar that glues them all together. And you just.
Do you think Juliet wanted the bracelets?
Yes. That is an act. I guarantee you. I don't. Nobody quote me on this, Juliet. When something like that is always an actor choice, because sound, you know, sound was, they probably just gave up. But in the beginning, you know, sound was fighting it. They were like, we can't have this. And I don't think costumes would fight for something that hard. It has to be an actor choice.
Do you think, Juliet? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, we gotta.
I don't care if this one runs long because we got shit to talk about. I remember being annoyed by that.
It's crazy.
Back in the day, and being like, I mean, I'm no big fan of the sound guys when they tell me how to live my life, tell me how to walk, tell me how to do things. What?
Oh, we're just still rolling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That was some kind of weird sound. Yeah, but it's too much, and you're going to notice it all the time now, Ben.
I didn't really notice it in the scene.
You didn't?
No. You didn't.
I'm not super good at, like, I get sucked into the scenes, and sometimes I will miss stuff.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense, too.
Not miss stuff, but it doesn't bother me.
Right.
Yeah. I also loved the...
I don't think it bothered that many people.
Timmy screaming into the pillow felt very meta. Did you know, like, at one point he just go, it's such a, like, out of character, out of Passion's World thing to do, because it felt like so
real.
He just grabbed a pillow and screamed it, and I was like, that's how I feel right now. It felt like he was really connecting with the audience.
Well, yeah. It's another time where I thought, if there was another actor.
yeah, I know. But yeah, the tax stuff,
so fun.
I really find that to be so, like, I in the writer's room, like, okay, what's the thing that we can do? What is it, like, the I know, property taxes.
Yeah.
Super topical.
Keeping it real.
And then she's sweating, what do I do when the next taxman comes? And I'm like, bitch, put him in the it worked the first, like, what do you solve the problem?
Yeah,
put him in the basement.
It led me to think that there's probably, if she were smart, she would actually contract herself out to someone like the mafia or the mob. I can disappear people for you.
Yeah, just send them over to grandma's.
$100,000. That's a really good idea.
And then, you know, three people, and she's paid off her taxes.
This is why you're the writer, Ben.
Okay.
And we're just...
Tabitha, assassin.
Well, I mean, if you just think what a reasonable person would do. I've got this resource.
What a reasonable person would do. Yeah.
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 Not that hard.
It's not.
Also, why are they always eating cat food?
They're poor. They're not poor. They're broke. I know that poor is very different from being broke. They are broke, as evidenced by the fact that they can't pay their property taxes and they're collecting plastics.
And recycling.
They can't afford anything.
Cat food's
but
cheaper.
Cat food.
Yeah. You've never eaten cat food?
I tried it once.
I have a technical actory question.
Okay.
How do they schedule your voiceovers? Because there's a lot of voiceovers.
You did it in the either at the end of the scene or you did it in that moment.
Okay. Yeah.
You did it that right.
Yeah. There was no like come back to set and do your voiceover.
Drop the mic down.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's what they do on dramas too. A lot of times.
Yeah.
You do it right then and there.
Yeah.
Which is great because you're still in the scene. It's still fresh. It's
and you don't have to come back and like, they don't have to wrangle. It's like wrangling cats.
Right.
Especially in the show.
Oh, there's a lot of, come back, we got to do our voiceover.
Yeah, come back.
Roomtown.
Stop walking, please.
Folks, hold I the have work. I have no work. Would you please hold the goddamn hammering?
Wait, what was
that's from Scrooged?
Scrooged.
I have not seen it in a long time.
Yeah, it's really worth a revisit.
Okay.
Also, what were we talking about? The money pit. You did that on. I did that on Justified, and I can't believe I didn't get fired. I was doing an emotional scene, a really emotional scene. It was the one, Justified fans, where I go to the hospital. I've just been told that Raylan has been shot, and I go to the hospital. It's a wordless scene. I just have to walk in and react to him in the hospital bed. And they were shooting another scene because why not? In the fucking next room. We were like double teamed, like tag teaming. Yeah. And it was a loud scene. And I was like, guys, I need to. And then after three times, I went in the next room. And I was like, shut the ever living fuck up. I'm trying to cry. And then it was just silence. And I just walked out. And they weren't loud the next time.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
Man, there's a lot of stuff you have. I mean, when I was at the aforementioned film school, we had one of our teachers was an AD out here, a guy named Chip Chalmers. Hey, Chip. He was awesome. And he was always talking about mostly worked on Star Trek, like TNG, Next Generation.
Oh, there you go.
Like there's he did that connection. For like 8 years or something. Yeah. Great guy. But he always was very, he would stress to us not to do things to not interfere with the actor's process. Like staying out of eye lines and you know, like soft sticks and things like that.
Soft sticks, yeah. Soft sticks. That's very considerate.
Yeah. So that's a good one.
No, that's good. I like that. I'm glad that's being taught.
Yeah. I mean, he was basically like, look, this is a collaborative process. Everyone's or a collaborative medium. Everyone's got a process. And you know, actors have to get into character. Once they're there, some people are able to do it spontaneously. Some people need to stay in it. So you just have to be aware of that. He was very, very good.
That's cool. I want that guy. I'm going to hire that guy.
Job, yeah.
I've got no more, guys. I'm tapped. You guys fill in the blanks.
Well, this is both episodes here, but especially this one. We went to some heavy places. That's a good question to ask at the top of the podcast. Why are we doing this? And I think
I'm glad you asked.
Just scratched the surface.
Why are you listening? You're listening because you love us. Because you probably have a little bit of a nostalgic itch. And if you want us to keep going, we need a little tiny thing from you. And you know where I'm going with this. You need to rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. You may go on Twitter, make comments.
At Passions4.
At Passions4 is our Twitter.
Twitter.
At Passions for Life Pod is our Instagram, and Ben's going to tell us our email address.
And the email for all commentary, feedback, etc. is emailpassions@gmail.com.
We love you guys. We'll see. Oh, what are we doing next week? We don't know. We're waiting for Gwen to get a day off, but that may never happen.
Theoretically, we'd move theoretically on to 365.
Yeah. Theoretically, but it may or may not happen.
Yeah.
Full of surprises over here.
We don't really look into the future. We're afraid.
Ever.
We're afraid to look into the future.
This is a show about looking back, Travis.
Yeah,
never look forward.
Never
look forward. Bye.
Wow.
See ya.
Yeah. Bye, guys.
Bye.
And cut. Manifold.